Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, currently administrator of Little Flower Church in Middle Branch. Welcome, Father.
Well, thank you, Tim. It's a joy to be able to take a little time out from my pastoring responsibilities at the parish to do this kind of shepherding where I'm, with your help, being able to reach even more souls.
Yeah, great. We love having you. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and talk more about what we believe as Catholics. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and today we're going to discuss the Tenth Commandment, which is, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. So let's talk about how do Christians respect other people's property.
All right. I'm glad you mentioned property because, you know, we take things for granted so often. And when you say, well, don't covet your neighbor's goods, I can just hear some young person saying, well, what's wrong with wanting things that are good, you know? And so we have to understand that this use of the word goods with the S on it refers, as you said, to property. It refers to things primarily, although we could covet even people's reputations, their achievements. So goods is a pretty generic term, but to covet somebody's goods means I want it for myself. So the sin here is, again, ultimately pride. All sin leads back to the pride of Adam and Eve's first sin, where I put myself first. I want that because I think I deserve it. Or even if I don't deserve it, I still want it just because I want it.
Would you say, Father, that a good way to combat pride would be to have this attitude of gratitude and being thankful for what we do have and saying prayer to our Lord and praise Him and thank Him for everything that we have, even our difficulties and our struggles?
Sure, that's a great idea. But may I push it even further and challenge you and myself, Tim, to say I should be thankful for what somebody else has. You know, maybe they worked very hard for it, as long as it's rightfully gained, to be thankful for what somebody else has instead of being envious of them, what a grace that would be, you know, to give thanks even for them and what they do have. Mm-hmm. So,
good point. And again, I've found myself, again, one of my many shortcomings is not being thankful enough for what I do have, not counting my blessings on a regular basis, even a daily basis, and just giving God thanks for the little things that I take for granted, because I tend to take a lot of things for granted. And again, when we take a step back and we realize how much God has blessed us with, and again, everything we are and everything we have is truly, totally a gift from God.
That's right. I've been touched a couple times in my life by people who seem to have nothing, practically nothing, and yet they seem so thankful. You know, just the fact that they're alive, they give thanks to God for that. And they don't seem to, they have reached a point in their spiritual journey where they've let go of the need for the things that we so often think are necessary. I have a classmate, Tim, who studied with me in the seminary. He was ordained a deacon, but made a decision not to go on to the priesthood. He felt that wasn't his call. So he left, actually, I think he left even, I don't think he's a parish deacon, but he, I think, is a deacon in good standing. But his call from God is to just walk the face of the earth. And he does that as a wandering pilgrim and carries a huge cross, I guess, like a staff, and wears a long Francis-like robe, and recently came through this part of Ohio and touched many people. I just saw the news in a newspaper, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that's my classmate, huh, who is finding his way to remind people you don't need a lot of things. He has no place like Jesus to lay down his head other than where he happens to be that night, in a barn somewhere, or if somebody gives him a place to sleep, fine. But he has no income. He has no property. He lives simply trusting God. And what a reminder he was to me that I should trust God a lot more than I do.
Well, you don't hear about that much today. I know sometimes in the lives of the saints, we see where they stayed in a cave or maybe even out in the desert. Mm-hmm. But you certainly don't hear about it that much in our culture today.
That's right.
So what is envy, and how can we fight against it?
All right. Envy, yeah, that's what this commandment really forbids, that we should be envious. To be envious, Tim, I am so sad or even annoyed that somebody else has something that maybe I think I deserve to have. And maybe they don't deserve to have it, in my humble thinking, see? So what I really want when I'm envious is I would like to have that for myself, and I don't care what I have to do. I'd like to acquire it, even if I do it in the unjust way. So to be envious is to really want something and be sad because somebody else has it.
So again, there's pride taking over and more specifically selfishness, something that I want. I want it no matter what.
That's right. And as I said, it's pertaining to the goods of somebody else. So it's something that they have, whether it was given to them. Some people are just born into wealth, as we say. And we look at them living in a mansion-type life where they've got plenty of stocks and bonds and investments and just so many good things that I'll never have. And it could be so easy to envy the good fortunes of others instead of realizing that perhaps God gave it to them for a reason. And they're going to be held accountable for how they use their wealth for the good of others. But I don't have to have all that myself. Perhaps I can find my happiness in a totally different way. I remember a man that I heard about. We call him now, he's a beatified man in our church. We call him Blessed or Brother Charles de Foucault. He was a Frenchman who was born into money, you know, and yet after his parents died, he went off into the French Foreign Legion, and Charles had a big problem with purity, did not live a very chaste life. He got kicked out of the French Foreign Legion and ended up deciding that God had called him to give up all his attachment to all that he once thought was so important, that he had to have nice clothes and nice home and nice everything. And he went back where he had served in Africa and he had scandalized many Muslims by his promiscuous lifestyle. And he decided, I have to go back and live and show them how Jesus would want me to live. And so he spent the rest of his life in the desert with nothing really except a humble little house that he built for himself. And so Brother Charles is just one, like you said, of many saints we've had that chose to let go of what doesn't really bring us ultimate happiness anyhow. Because as they say, you can't hitch a U-Haul to your hearse and take it with you.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Father. Mm-hmm. So, as a Catholic Christian, we need to have balance. It's okay to want things to a certain degree, but we can't get to the point where we have envy or greed. So why is greed bad for us?
Well, it leads us to focus on myself, of course, and even on the things that will not be for my true happiness. I am created to be happy. But to be happy with what? As St. Augustine said, we are so restless, our hearts are restless, until God, we rest finally in Thee. So I have an obligation to search and seek out that which will really make me happy. And nothing of this world, I can think, as soon as I get this, or as soon as I get that, and if a neighbor gets a new car, I got to have that car. If they get a better house, I got to have a better house, and so on. None of the things of this world are going to really satisfy what really is going to make me happy. I am created for God, and my ultimate happiness is there. So isn't that why Jesus must have said, we have to let go, like he, I think a couple days ago, you referred to the young man who said, I'm keeping the commandments, Lord. And the Lord pushed him a little bit further and says, why don't you give up all the things you have and come follow me? And how often he might say to us, give up that urge. Let go of that desire you have. Should it happen that somebody gives you this as a gift, fine. That may be what he wants you to have. But don't think you have to have it all. Things will make you happy.
So if we don't yearn for things, then what should we yearn for most, and how do we do that?
Well, we have to yearn for the source of all that is good. And it's God. We have to yearn for God. Only God can truly satisfy me. And that's why if I die with very little desire for God, it's going to take probably some purging. You know, our Catholic Church dearly believes that God in His mercy will purge me of too much attachment to the things of this world. And we call that purging, a purgatory of our soul. And we Catholics believe that God in His mercy will grant us that in order to be able to really be fulfilled with God. Because many of us just never really nurture our yearning for God very much. We just keep busy about the things we're about, and we don't focus nearly enough on going into the desert, I guess you could say, and spending some time being alone with God. And saints who have done that have learned to give up a lot. St. John the Baptist, from the time he was a young man, he left his home with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and he went into the desert and learned to yearn only for what his mission from God would be. And he found it in being the herald of Jesus and the baptizer.
You know, another reality that I love that we believe as Catholic Christians is the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, so that he's in every tabernacle of every church throughout the world. So if we really want to be, you know, in the Old Testament, they had the temple and the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Well, and then the New Covenant, and, you know, after Jesus came, now, since he gave us under the appearances of bread and wine, he's in every tabernacle in every church throughout the world. So we can actually, at my parish, Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Wadsworth, we have perpetual adoration.
What a blessing. Yeah.
So, I mean, we can go any time of day, even if it's just for a few minutes, and be in the presence of God and actually look at the Sacred Host and meditate about who God is, you know, what he wants for me in my life, what it is I am to do. And again, lay all of my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my sins at the foot of the cross and there at the monstrance where the Sacred Host is.
Exactly. That Brother Charles I mentioned, in the desert, he was ordained a priest for one reason, Tim, because they realized he wouldn't have Jesus. He was living in a totally Muslim world where there were no Catholics. So he was allowed to be ordained so he could have the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And even though he was martyred out there in the desert finally, he always had Jesus with him.
What was Brother Charles's last name?
Defoucault.
Defoucault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we've been talking with Father Don Feit about the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods, as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. Father Don, I want to thank you for being with us. One final comment?
Yes, I hope everybody listens tomorrow, because we're going to take the next step, prayer. How do you keep the commandments? By prayer. We're going to enter a new section of the Catechism, entitled prayer.
Beautiful. Thanks, Father. Again, you've been listening to Father Don Feit. This is Tim Perry, your host for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you and yours abundantly. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.